Smash Show. We're back at you with the KO Siddle, coach of UNC Women's and Seahawks out of CAA. Coach, what's up with you guys down in the corner, man?
You know what, JR? We're just trying to figure it out, man, taking it one day at a time. Just had an unbelievable Zoom team meeting with my guys. They seem in a good place. So I'm excited and ready to get going.
Now, Coach, I got to ask you, because with this coronavirus, COVID-19 going on, how difficult is it to put together a staff, first and foremost, trying to get hire guys, interview guys, not seeing some in person per se, and also recruit guys on your roster to keep them intact and also get them instruction to work out during this whole COVID-19 crisis? How's it just been for you getting the job here in March?
You know what? You know, as an assistant, when you're aspiring to be a head coach, you always have a short list that you keep of guys that you will hire if you got a staff. So that has that was huge for me. You know, especially what we're dealing with right now, I was able to, you know, get the job when I did, and immediately I knew who I wanted to hire. And I was fortunate enough for those guys to be excited as I was, and be ready to be on board with me and the UNCW men's basketball program. So that transition wasn't as tough as some may think. Because, you know, if you know anything about me, I always like to be prepared for every situation that could come up and that's in front of me. So I was able to assemble my staff pretty quick. You know, we're going through some HR stuff right now, which everybody is, to get them officially announced. But I'm excited about our staff. I feel like we have a lot of versatility. I feel like we have a lot of energy and enthusiasm and passion on our coaching staff. And I couldn't be more excited about those guys. Now, when you talk about our team, which is the most important thing to me, the first thing that I wanted to do when I took the job is I spent 1 to 2 hours just making sure that I called every last one of them individually and expressed to them how excited I was to be their head coach and how excited I was to build a relationship with them. And then I was worried more than anything about their safety and, you know, them being healthy. So that was important to me. So that was the first thing that I did when I got announced as the new head coach at UNC Wilmington.
Yeah, because I know when you got announced as the coach, it kind of went downhill from there with them counseling everything. I know it, because my birthday was March 11th when the NBA canceled the season. I was at the Hawks game playing the Knicks. And I was like, thank you so much, coach. You're 33 years old. I'm about the same age you for a little bit, a while longer. You got me by a few months. Got me by a few months. But yeah, it was like, it's so weird. Then you got announced on Friday. And then, you know, everything's going down. So I know it kind of threw you in a loop because the excitement that you had, of course, getting this job. But then all that going down on right as you get that. And this is the gig, man. I know that probably was like, wow, this is crazy. But thank God you'd already coached there with Coach Keats when he was there. You fought him in NC State. Now you're back as the head man. So knowing that the administration saw something in you, they want to bring you to lead this program going forward, had to make you feel good despite all what's going on around you as you was getting hired.
Absolutely. Excuse me. No, it was, you know, you talked about me, the excitement kind of dying down. And I would say that I'm still extremely excited. You know, it's, you know, I know we're dealing with some uncharted territory right now, but, you know, I'm excited as I was, you know, when I was here as an assistant. And, you know, nothing can take away from that. Me being able to go back and be a part of a program that I love and that I follow when I was a high school basketball player. So, you know, I'm still excited, and I'll be excited for as long as I'm here. And I hope that's for a very long time. You know, when you talk about the administration, man, they were really clear on what they wanted. They were clear on their vision moving forward. They were really aggressive and persistent in pursuing me, and that made me feel really good. That made me feel comfortable, and I appreciate them for that. And, you know, the transition and the whole process was, you know, it was tough at times, but the fact that I knew that they wanted me and they were pursuing me as aggressive as they were, that made me feel really good about everything, and that helped the process be a little more easy.
And Coach, being an assistant who wants to become a head coach, what things did you do to kind of prepare yourself? Because, you know, we move over that 6 inches right there, it makes such a big difference when you're the man with a bus out with you. Rather giving a suggestion, you're making the final calls now. So as you prepare yourself in your mind, being on Coach Keats and Coach Holtman all over the years, how did you prepare yourself for the opportunity that you have today, right now?
Well, what I did initially is I wanted to build a solid foundation. And the guy you mentioned for, Chris Holtman, he helped me do that. You know, he gave me a solid foundation. And, you know, when I got my foundation and I felt really comfortable with everything that I was doing, you know, I wanted to act as if I was a head coach on a daily basis. And, you know, I was never a yes man. I was never a guy that's just going to sit back and, you know, just kind of keep my mouth quiet. I wanted to get out in front and, you know, stick my neck out there and, you know, be aggressive and be, you know, convicted in my message. And, you know, and having said all that, the biggest thing that I've done and that I've learned is just to be myself. I'm comfortable with who I am. I'm confident in who I am. And, you know, I was just myself. I put my head down and I worked. I didn't worry about a title. I didn't worry about, you know, any other things. You know, I wanted to put my head down and work and do my job the best that I could. And, you know, that's any advice. If I could give any advice to any of, you know, the young assistant coaches that's trying to become head coaches, is just be yourself and do your job. Be yourself and do your job. So that's what I live by. And, you know, I was blessed with this opportunity, man, and I can't tell you how excited I am about it.
And building a program, because you put forward for two great guys, Chris Holtman and Kevin Keats, who can build programs like the lightning weather. So I feel like you have a great base, the foundation to know how to build a program. Since you've been in Wilmington before, you know what this administration wants. They told you what they want, and the fact that you've had familiarity, you know, relationship in the area for recruiting wise. I know you're a grinder on the recruiting trail. I know that about you. I've heard about you from different guys in the business who told me about you. And it's like, so I feel like you're in a great situation to succeed, because, you know, us black coaches are not very few of us in the business right now. We need to have us be successful. I feel like you're in a place where you can actually succeed and keep the lineage going for years to come.
Absolutely. You know, when you talk about taking over a program and building it, you know, I think we have a solid foundation here at UNC Wilmington. And that's something that I'm excited about. And, you know, the one thing that I took away from both of the guys, Chris and Kevin, is when we took over the program, whatever their standard was as a team or whatever they thought it was, we came in and we immediately talked about winning championships, and we never wavered from it. And that's something that I'll do as well. We're going to attack every day with that in our mind. I've talked to the team earlier, and I talked about, you know, winning the day, doing the process of today well. And so we're going to talk about that a lot, and we're going to try to win a championship every day. And, you know, we're not going to waver from that at all. So that's one of the biggest things I took away from the two guys that I was able to work under when we rebuilt programs.
And the fact that you've been in the CAA before, with Coach Keats, and, you know, you got guys like Bill Cohen still there, Earl Grant, Martin Ingles, were doing a good job of Delaware. Of course, Joe Mihalik is doing a good job of Hofstra, of course, and all guy Dane Fisher, William and Mary. So you have in that league a lot of great teams, a lot of great coaches. And Zach Spiker is trying to get Drexel going as well. So you have a great league, a lot of great coaches. It's going to be a tough league, of course, but you've been in it before, so I know this doesn't scare you at all. But, you know, so being back in conference you're familiar with also helps as well, because you've seen some of these guys scouted some of these teams already, you know their tendencies already, so it kind of can help you and your staff come down conference play for us to scout and give your team a clear game plan to beat these team schemes and what they got right there running at that time there.
Yeah, no, you hit on it. You know, it's a lot of great coaches in this league, and I respect every last one of them. But I'm also confident in who I am, and I'm confident in our style of play and our system. I'm very confident in that. So when you talk about being scared or being nervous, no, you know, I'm not at all. You know, we're going to attack it, and we're going to be locked in every day to get the job done. And, you know, you have to have really good players to be a good coach. You have to have really good players to be a good coach. And I think that we have a solid group of guys right now that are hungry to win. And, you know, we're going to continue to bring future Seahawks into the program that are talented, you know, both on and off the court. So, you know, yes, it's a lot of good coaches in this league, and I respect all of them. But, you know, I'm ready to roll my sleeves up and battle against
them. I know that's right. Now, Coach, come to recruiting here. And I'm trying to get future Seahawks. It's weird right now, as we both know. So how's the recruiting process going with maybe the FaceTime and the Zooms and the video apps here to kind of get guys to buy into you? We can't really see them in person anymore, so now it's FaceTime and Zoom, and then to get guys to buy into the program so they can't really come visit right now due to all these different stay-at-home orders we have going on right now.
Recruiting has been good. You know, we've embraced, you know, the situation and the uncharted territory that we're in right now. We've embraced it versus making an excuse. When I was an assistant at NC State, I was able to get out and see a bunch of student athletes. And, you know, that has benefited me, you know, with transitioning over to being a head coach at Wilmington. It's helped me tremendously because, you know, I've seen all of the guys that we're targeting right now. So that's been very helpful. You know, we've just been trying to send out a bunch of film, a bunch of graphics, you know, talking on the phone a ton, texting, trying to get them familiar with our university, our program, and us as a coaching staff. So we've been creative in those areas. But recruiting is going well, and I'm excited to continue to add, you know, future Seahawks to the roster.
And, Coach, player development is a real big piece at the CAA level. Developing your players. So are you guys sending out your guys kind of like workout plans for the guys to do at home while they're away from you guys, a sequester here? Because I know you usually get the chance to work with them in 4 hours in summertime, of course, and some spring stuff as well, and then the summer, of course, come to school for summertime. But this year it's not going to be this deep like that, most likely. So are you sending those guys personal practice plans to work out on their own and get shots up, drill works, film works, so to make sure y'all get it prepared. Hopefully we have a season coming up here in October here, down the road.
No, we haven't done that yet. You know, we talked to them about, you know, their strength and conditioning, and it's tough. You know, I heard yesterday that they told all the outside parts to take the, you know, take the rims off the goals. So it's going to be tough for them to get in the gym. It's going to be tough for them to be able to get in and get workouts in. That's something that we will do later on, you know, when summer one starts or whatnot, we'll start to send them workouts and stuff. But just want them to focus right now on staying safe, making sure to take care of their bodies and having a routine, and then making sure that they're trying to stay, you know, get in somewhat type of shape. So when they come back, we won't have to start from ground zero.
I hear that. Last one I got for you, Coach, this non-conference scheduling is a big part of a coach's gig, man. You know, it's playing those guaranteed games, getting on the road, trying to finagle a home game out of somebody here and there. It's always hard, man. So how you feel like going about it? You gonna schedule going forward for your team going forward, trying to get games, trying to make non-conference tough as possible, or just fit your team so you can get ready for CAA and play, which is going to be tough as well. I mean, you know, I already know.
Right. So, you know, obviously you hit on it a minute ago. Just, you know, we want to make it as challenging as possible for our guys, but we don't want to take their confidence from them either. So we want to try to challenge them to get them ready for conference play. The scheduling is going well. We have a couple more games to get. Our schedule's challenging. You know, the last staff had already signed some contracts, you know, that we have to, you know, go through and, you know, we're going to make sure that our guys are ready to play in those games. But, you know, we're obligated to a couple games already, but, you know, it's going to be challenging. It's going to be tough for our guys, but we'll have them prepared and ready to roll.
That's what's up, Coach. With Coach Siddle, Congrats on getting this job. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do, and I hope to see you guys play down the road here real soon. Hope you play somebody in Georgia, hopefully, or Carolina close by. I know that's a little bit far, the closest down, a little far from here, but I'll try to make it out there too as well. But happy for you getting the job, man. You're around my same age, which is also good. Have a guy from my age group doing big things as well. So best of luck to you down the road, man.
Thank you, JR. I appreciate you having me, man. Make sure you stay safe. Make sure your family stays safe. And good luck with everything. And if I can ever help you in any way, man, make sure you reach out to me.
I'm texting you out there right now, man.
My man, appreciate
you. Here on the Boss Man Show.
Grab a hold of Big Breakfast flavor at Hardee's. Try two breakfast sliders for just $2.99. Get Applewood smoked bacon or freshly grilled sausage with fluffy eggs and golden melty cheese all on a toasty little bun. Good morning, start at Hardee's. Available now for a limited time at participating restaurants. Tax not included.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show. For the show, now we're just the morning days with George James Bass and the Dukes at the CAA, Clonet Athletic Association. Coach, what's up, man? How are things up there with you guys? Are you in Georgia or are you in Virginia right now, man?
Well, yeah, back and forth. I'm in Virginia right now. It's a little colder up here. It's a crazy time to take over a job trying to get back and forth. And you really can't travel, can't see the guys. It's unusual right now for sure.
Now, Coach, how's your son liking the move so far? I know he's very important to you. How's your son take the move from Georgia Southern going up to James Madison now?
Well, you know, just like any 12-year-old, he was worried about his friends. And he lived in Virginia for 1 year at Virginia Tech when he was four, and all he can remember that was cold. And so he was worried that he was going to lose his friends, it's going to be cold. But then at the same time, after about 30 minutes, I showed him pictures of our new arena. I showed him pictures of where he's going to live, and he came around pretty quick, though. So he's all about it now.
Now, Coach, James Madison is a story of your program out of CAA, as I mentioned. So what do you mean you feel them coming to you, wanting you to take over that program there? Because I know they want to turn this around after the previous staff there, and you've done a great job of doing something, building a program from the ground, the situation you've been there. So what do you mean if you don't want you to be there, man, going forward?
Yeah, you know, I appreciate my time at Georgia Southern, and I kept learning. It taught me a lot, and I think one of the things that James Madison liked is I kind of proved that I can build a program. And, you know, from where we took the thing at Georgia Southern from the start to, you know, where it was there towards the end, I think that's something they're looking forward to here. And, you know, the place has everything. I mean, it's a beautiful campus. If you've never been here, you got to come see it. The education is top-notch. The buildings. And then, you know, we got a brand new arena that's opening up in November, and it's going to be one of the nicest in the country. So, And you see their success they've had in every other sport. I mean, they win national championships in football, national championships in women's lacrosse, and every other sport's really good. So they have a great infrastructure here. You know, they know how to win. They got everything in place. And we just got to kind of get the right kind of players, the right kind of people around it, and we'll get there quick.
And speaking of that, Coach, getting players, you know, this weird time we're in with COVID-19, trying to recruit players, also recruiting the guys on the roster right now that was recruited by Coach Rowe and his staff. So how was that being when you really can't be around as much as you want to do the social distancing regulation we have right now, which would be Zoom and FaceTime? How has that process been trying to do to get relations with guys who you don't know quite as well and get new guys who want to come in the program when you really can't see them in person right now?
Well, it is challenging. You know, and I'm a face-to-face guy. I like to look somebody, you know, eye to eye and kind of get a feel for what they're all about and let them understand what I'm all about. And right now, everything's been through video conference, phones, telephones, things like that. So it's been extremely challenging, and it's a tough time, you know, and that's, you know, that's nothing compared to what's going on in the economy with people and jobs and sickness and everything else. So we'll definitely be able to overcome this. And, you know, we're just kind of praying we get past this, you know, at some point soon. And then we get back to doing what we all love to do, is talking sports and coaching and things like that.
And, Coach, also trying to build a staff right now may have to be kind of hard for you as well. I know you probably had some guys in mind if you took a job elsewhere who you have on your staff, but, you know, trying to hire a staff right now is kind of big, probably kind of challenging as well.
Yeah, you know, we got two guys in place, and I can tell you this, a lot of people want to work here. So my phone from when I got the job and even like this very moment right now, this buzz is off the hook with people inquiring about a job, wanting to be a part of James Madison. I don't think it's because they want to work for me as bad sometimes. I don't think I'm the great to work for, but they want to work here. and we, you know, they want to be at this place, live in the city. So it's been a great response, and then it's been a little slower putting it together than I want to, but it is coming along.
Now, Coach, you're moving from Sunbelt to the CAA. You know, they have a lot of quality coaches in the CAA. I just talked to one of them earlier today, to K.O. Siddle down at Wilmington there. I know they got Joe Mihalik been up for a long time, Earl Grant of Charleston, also Martin Inglesby and Bill Cohen, all these guys who've been in the league for years, man. So how does it feel being a part of that fraternity now of the CAA conference, learning these different coaches and their styles of play, and going forward with recruiting in the DMV area in Virginia, that up there waiting to find the guys in the Mid-Atlantic to play for you now going forward?
Yeah, I'm coming from a league in the Sun Belt. You know, I was just there, and it's got real talented players and great coaches, and the CAA is no different. You know, they've had some success a lot lately with a lot of guys going from the CAA to the NBA, and that shows kind of the talent level of this league and what guys are doing. But, you know, there is going to be an adjustment period where you kind of learn things. But at the same time, you know, they don't quite know me as well either. So I got to learn them. They got to learn me. And then, you know, hopefully I learn faster about them. They learn about me.
Yeah, you got that right, Coach. I tell you what, some of the guys asked me about you, too, in the league. I said, he's a great coach. He's done a damn good job at Georgia Southern. He'll tough out. Trust and believe that. So,
well, you know, I pay for that good advertisement right there. So you know I'm saying that.
Okay. I didn't know that, Coach. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Hey, but I got your back, man. You know I got your back, man.
I appreciate it.
You know, Grenadier, Coach, you know, recruiting for you is kind of different now. You was in the kind of Sun Belt. It kind of stretches a long way. Now you're kind of mid-Atlantic states, East Coast there. So, and you're kind of close to DMV, so that's very good for you. So have you kind of put it in your head what guys you want to target, where you want to go, maybe the JUCO route initially? Probably you're supposed to get some high school seniors as well, the prep school route. Have you kind of put it in your head how you want to attack this, to build this program out the right way, the way you want it to be?
Yeah, we're going to still recruit the South. You know, we're still going to recruit Georgia, Florida. We've always recruited them. When I was at Georgia Southern, we recruited North Carolina hard, and that's still right there, right out of bordering state. But I'm from Virginia, and, you know, I worked at Virginia, worked at Virginia Tech, worked at Hargrave Military, and there is tremendous talent in Virginia. And then you also mentioned the DMV area is one of the best in the country. So there's talent up here. I've got some connections that I haven't been able to really use as well, seeing all the way down in Georgia. So I'm going to keep my connections down in Georgia, and then at the same time, you know, try to be really good in this area as well.
Also, Coach, you know, I know it's difficult now because you can't see your guys for us giving them the workout and staying in shape. So if you kind of put it together in your head, a plan for the guys who are going to stay with you on the roster, who want to still be a part of the program, give them some plans to maybe, if they can get to a gym, a one-on-one, or find a hoop one-on-one where they can actually work on their games, kind of stay in some shape and start from scratch when you guys can get back to it whenever this whole COVID-19 epidemic is kind of down and tamped down. We can get back to kind of a little bit of normalcy going after this whole thing passes by the apex and this wave goes away.
Yeah, so, I mean, my strength coach up here is doing a great job. And like, I got an academic coordinator, and they're doing everything virtual and trying to, you know, send guys workouts and help them out. And, you know, you kind of just want to be optimistic and say, all right, this is going to pass, and be ready as soon as it's going to pass. You know, the players are sheltered at home and they're trying to figure it out. And it's new for everybody. I mean, guys right now are shooting in the driveway. Some of the guys have barely even shot in their driveway. So it's a little old school for them, but it's probably, you know, it's just how we grew up, though.
Yeah, Coach, you know, for me, myself, I still have a basketball hoop in my house in Nashville. You know, that my mom had me when I was a kid. You know, I got a hoop in the backyard here in Henry County. So it's like, for me, having a hoop in the backyard is normal to me. But, you know, some dudes ain't used to it in a long time. But, hey, shooting on that concrete still get your game right, Coach, if you ask me.
Well, and I was trying to explain to a guy the other day about playing in the park on chain nets. And he thought I was making it up. I said, no, there really was nets made out of chains in the park sometimes.
Yes, it was. Hey, Coach, no, I'm in my mid-30s, but some of these young dudes, they 19, 20 years old, they've been spoiled, man. They don't know how I used to be, back in the day, how I used to be, how it was this classic, they shoot on chain links, or with a crate up on the wood there. So they don't know nothing about those old playground days, man.
pay. And I loved it now because you had to win or you had to go sit for a couple of games. So them games got competitive. You want to stay on the court.
No doubt. And the coach, last one I got for you is this. Non-conference scheduling-wise and CAA, a little bit different, similar to the Sun Belt and the Grizzlies. Kind of play some guaranteed games, some kind of try to get games to play at home as well, kind of do a two-for-one, play that kind of trick or non-exempt tournament. So you know, I probably got some games that staff left you already, but when you get to take over yourself, how you going to do that going forward with those guys, James Madison there?
Yeah, we're going to schedule hard, and we got some games already contracted with us. We're going to play University of Virginia, so I guess we're the defending national champion, still at our own home court. We got them, and we got an Old Dominion coming to our place and George Mason coming to our place, and we still got to schedule some more. So the CAA is tough. Our non-conference is going to be tough, but it's going to make sure it's going to sharpen us up and make sure we're right by the tournament time.
Coach Bonson, I'm going to be cheering for you guys up there, James Madison. Thanks for coming on the show all the time. You did Georgia Southern. I hope you keep doing it with you as well, JMU. And, of course, I hope you win a lot of games up there, man. Hope to see you in your direct recruit as well, Coach.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again.
All right, buddy. Anytime, man.
Sally Beauty's new all-in-one hair color kits make it easy to color your hair at home. Get everything you need to color for beautifully radiant results. Loved by professionals, open to everyone. Sally Beauty.
Folks, back on the Boston Man Show, here with Coach Dan Johnson, Loyola Marymount Lions out of the West Coast Conference. Coach, what's about there in L.A. with you guys, man?
Man, you know what? I wish I was out in L.A. I haven't gotten there yet with all this going on, but I'll tell you what, I can't wait to get there.
I hear that, Coach. Now, Coach, I'll tell you, I want to ask you this now. With this whole COVID-19 pandemic going on, how hard has it been to put together a staff and talk to your players via Zoom and try to recruit the guys already on the roster to keep them around to play for you as take over this job? I know it's been, like, hard because of you can't see anybody right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm such an in-person type of guy, too. You know, I love that human connection and being in the presence of other people. So, for me, you know, just like everybody else, it is extremely difficult, but I've been fortunate. You know, I've waited, you know, 18 years to get an opportunity like this. And on the days that I feel like, you know what, man, why is this happening? I can't believe in my moment. I just take a step back and thank God and say, you know what, you've come a long way. You're where you want to be. Embrace it. Enjoy it. And do the best of it. So I've gone back to my D2 days. I mean, I started my career as a, you know, assistant coach at a small D2. And back then, man, you didn't have money to fly kids in and do official visits and all those things. You had to work the phones. And I'm really back to my roots. You know, I've been very fortunate to have been trying to stay in touch with our whole team via Zoom, you know, and the phone. I've been very fortunate in hiring that, you know, we had great interest from across the country, guys that wanted to join our staff. And we're at a place now where we can, you know, hopefully get that, you know, announced soon, but everything has been by the phone. And, you know, it's amazing how much work you can get done still electronically, but it's still not the same, but we're doing the best we can.
You got that right, Coach. And I think for me, it's when kind of in some of your shoes in the radio business, I like having people in studio. Now I'm in my basement now for good now. For the most part, so I invite people to my basement. I don't be holding any in-studio guests anymore anytime soon. So I know what you mean. I'm very face-to-face, in-person kind of a guy myself, Coach. So I can definitely feel for you in that regard. Just the phone is good. Zoom is good. FaceTime is good. But I'm more of an in-personal kind of a guy that when he's looking at you, he's looking in your eyes, see your facial expression, see how your body language is when I'm telling you something about whatever we're discussing.
Right. Yeah, man, it's all, you know, people get a better sense, a better gauge with somebody when you can look them in the eye and you can see what they're about. And that's the tough thing right now with recruiting, especially for this class, because, you know, there's a good chance you're not going to be able to get guys on official visits and be in person with them. So you miss that piece of it. And that's a big piece, you know, seeing what a guy's like up close and what somebody is like, you know, on a recruiting visit, how they present themselves, how they act. You know, so again, I'm using relationships, people that I trust, people that I've done business with, where we've had success in those relationships as it pertains to recruiting. That's what I'm falling back on right now in order to get our program off and running.
And what do you mean, Coach, for the administration of Loyola to just say, hey, Coach Johnson, we believe in you. Once you lead our program going forward, because I know you have a lot of roots out west there, different stops you've made out west out there. So when I'm going to say Taboo is the man to lead this program going forward, how did it make you feel and make your family feel knowing that, hey, all these years of grinding as an assistant, I finally got an opportunity to lead a program and put my stamps on a young man's life, being the head man in charge?
Yeah, you know what? To be honest with you, it's just a humbling feeling. You know, I've been very fortunate to be in our profession for a long time. I tell people I come from the mud in this business. You know, I had nothing. I was on ground zero. I've had to work my way up from sleeping in somebody's basement and making 10 grand a year as an assistant coach at Bemidji State to ending up at a place like Marquette, which nobody does basketball better than Marquette from a commitment standpoint. And they having an opportunity to lead my own program, I've seen it all. And along the way, I've seen so many talented people. And although I'm now the caretaker of a program, I'm humbled and smart enough to know that there's a lot of people who could have had that job too. There's a lot of people who are worthy of that job. So it's an absolute blessing. You know, I take it in stride, and, you know, I'm thankful and I'm grateful for it. You know, so I want to do the best job I can to make people proud. And I hope, you know, my tenure here and will lead to a lot of success that will open the doors for a lot of other guys like myself.
Now, Coach, you know, when you're an assistant coach, you know, you're in your mind, you have to kind of prepare yourself if you want to move up to a head coaching job. So what did you do for yourself to kind of prepare your mind and your work ethic and how you went about things with your head coaches when you're who you work for to prepare yourself for the opportunity to become a head coach now when this opportunity presented itself?
That's a good question. You know, what I've done over the years, you know, I've been fortunate to work for so many good dudes. I mean, some guys that can really coach, some guys that can really lead, some guys that were, you know, great CEOs of programs. And I have taken a lot of things from everybody I've been with, but I have formulated that. So throughout the years, I was building my own plan in the off season. And I tell people all the time, like, you know, work. As an assistant coach, you're always working for somebody and you're always trying to help somebody. But you have to take time during that process to work on yourself and work for yourself so that when the opportunity presents itself, you're organized and you have a plan and you're ready to go. Now, the plan's always changing, as we know. We can all have a plan. And like Mike Tyson says, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. But you got to have a plan to start off. And so I, you know, over the years, I started to build my blueprint of what I wanted my program to look like systematically from an organizational standpoint, what we're going to look like on the floor, how we would travel, you know, all the little details of a program, you know, the staff responsibilities, you know, delegations, how we would handle, you know, marketing and fundraising and community outreach, you know, so I've been building that. And the cool thing now is I took from so many people what I like, what I didn't like, and now I get to put it to the test to see, you know, what it looks like, and then I can make my own adjustments. But I'm really grateful that I did that. I'm really grateful that I took the time to spend time on building my program, my culture, and what I wanted to look like, because when you get these jobs, you have a million things that start rolling at you. All these phone calls, a bunch of different constituents that you have to touch. And it's nice to be able to go back to your blueprint and start checking off things that you wanted to do in your first 30 days, things you wanted to do in your first 90 days, instead of just kind of flying by the seat of your pants. So that's what I did. And if there's anybody out there listening, I would tell you that I don't care if you're a coach or you work at a store or whatever business you're in, the things that you want to do for yourself, you've got to take time to plan and pour into your own development, because there's going to come a point where you're going to get to where you want to go. And once you get there, then you have to be able to accomplish the job and be organized in doing so.
Got that right, Coach. And also that same point is, like, I feel like with your experience of being in the business as long as you have, you know how to build a program, because program building is so key to success at the mid-major level, because you have to get the right guys, you have to project guys ahead, develop them on off the court, get them stronger, bigger, faster. So I feel like you coming to this job have been around guys who've built programs successfully, and now you can do this. You put what you've learned over the years to your own twist on it and do it that same thing at Loyola Marymount going forward.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more important than culture. And there's nothing more important than you know, the foundation of your program. And culture, to me, is the foundation. And culture starts with people and making sure you're getting the right people on the bus. And then you have to have accountability, and you have to fight for your culture and make sure each and every day people are living your culture. And they're living it the right way. And that's my biggest job right now, especially in the next 12 months. That's what I'm going to be evaluating the most. What are we doing from a culture standpoint? Are we on pace? Are we doing the little things? Are we focused on the details? How are our relationships? Are we selecting the right people? How are we conducting ourselves? Are we a yes, sir, no, thank you team? Do we show up on time? You know, all the little things that you have to win in order to become a championship level program. And that's what I'm trying to put in place. That's what I'll be trying to instill in our guys. Those are the things we're going to try to recruit to, because if we have the right culture, that'll lend itself to the right people. And if we have the right people, that'll lend itself to winning. It all goes hand in hand.
Now, Coach, with the COVID-19 crisis here, Coach, have your strength coach, have you hired that yet? And you yourself kind of try to give guys workout plans and come able to shoot on their own if they have hoops in their backyards or wherever they are, they can kind of stay in shape and stay in the rhythm and not have to start from square one once this pandemic passes down the road?
Yeah, you know, we're fortunate. We have a great strength coach, Coach Jordan, who's, you know, every week giving our guys, you know, sending them different exercises that they can do even if they don't have, you know, a bench or, you know, all the equipment that's necessary to lift. But he's given them exercises that they can do just in their own home. And so, again, we all have to do the best we can. Is it perfect? No. But like you said, we want to make sure we're doing something. You know, everybody can go outside and run. Everybody can do push-ups. Everybody can do sit-ups. And he's got, you know, far more dynamic stuff in their plan. But we want to be, you know, we certainly don't want to show up and, you know, have done nothing when we show up to campus and when we pass this thing. So, you know, he's done a great job with that. Our guys are responding to that. And, you know, even through this crisis, I found if you wake up and make your bed and just do little things and get a little workout in, it makes everybody feel better, not just players, but any human being. So I would recommend that for everybody who's listening. You know, try to do something each day to make yourself feel better about what's going on.
And, Coach, you know, you can be in the West Coast Conference now, a lot of great coaches in that conference. So the adjustment period for you, I know you probably play these guys in non-con games. Can you kind of have some idea what these guys run scheme-wise? But what's always the adjustment, even as an assistant coach, and you move it around when new coaches come to the league, when you move on to a new job, kind of learn the league and the coaches and their tendencies? What is that adjustment like for an assistant coach and a head coach as well?
Well, you know, sometimes as an assistant coach, we all have suggestions, right? We all get the best ideas. And so you can throw a lot of ideas there as an assistant coach. The biggest difference is now you have, as a head coach, you have to make the final say. And you get to make the final say. And you got to make the decision. And it's not you making suggestions. It's you deciding on what's best for the group. And, you know, that's one of the greatest responsibilities a head coach has. You know, especially when you transition from being an assistant coach to a head coach. And, you know, that's obviously going to be the biggest thing for me, that I no longer have to make a suggestion. I got to make sure that the information that I'm receiving from the guys that work with me, I'm processing that correctly in order to make the right decision, to put our team in a position to be successful on and off the court.
That's one I got for you, coaches. This non-con schedule is a outside recruiting, probably the biggest responsibility a head coach has. I know some games are probably already booked for you for next year, but going forward, when you have it scheduled to yourself, how you see going about those games? Going to play some guaranteed games, probably also do some 2-for-1s as a 9-cent tournament. So how you see going putting together a non-con schedule going forward once you have it all to yourself about the games already been booked for you for next year?
Yeah, you know, we're still working on our schedule, so I'm fortunate enough to still have a say on what we're doing this year so far from a scheduling standpoint. But, you know, as we continue to build our team, you know, we want to build a schedule that, you know, number one, prepares our guys to do well within the league, and that's important. I want to build a schedule that will, you know, challenge our team and put us in a position someday to not have to just win your tournament to get in the NCAA tournament. You know, you build a schedule where if you can do well in non-conference and you do well in the league, maybe you have a shot to being an NCAA tournament team that way. And then we want to build a schedule that's a national schedule that puts our programs in different areas of the country and gets Loyola Marymount basketball out there where people know who we are and we're visible. You know, those things are important, and you know there's a strategy behind it. But I want our schedule to challenge, you know, our guys. I want them to get us ready for league play. I want it to create exposure. I want it to be something that puts our kids in environments, you know, that will be a tremendous experience for them. And then also we want to create a schedule where we have really good teams coming to our place in a non-conference to put butts in the seats. So that's kind of my schedule philosophy and how we want to do it as we move forward.
Coach Johnson, pleasure to have you on the show. I'm happy for you getting this job. I was living to see that African American coaches get a head job opportunity in D1. So, Coach, best of luck to you. We'll definitely be talking to you down the road and stay safe out there. Love to have you on the show again down the road, man.
Thank you, man. I'd love to be back. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great day. Stay safe.
Anytime, because Coach Johnson here on the Boss Man Show.
How do you feel about your office? Is it just a space for your company, or is it a space to help you grow your company? From new HQs to satellite offices, with WeWork, you can find a space that works for you. Visit we.co/spacematters to learn more.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show here with the new coach of SEMO, the Redhawks out of the OVC, Coach Brad Corn. Coach, what's up with guys, man? SEMO, man.
Well, no, I just got the FaceTime call with one of our guys, and they're just like everybody else, only adding schoolwork into it. They're at home and just trying to be as safe as possible by still staying on top of their academics and everybody's trying to just find out a way to work out in the confines of their own home. So it's challenging times for everybody, but everybody's trying to make the best of it because we understand how serious this can be.
And Coach, speaking of the COVID-19 crisis, how tough is it to put together a staff and also, like you said, talk to your players? Because you don't have to recruit guys on your roster who don't quite know you the way they knew Rick Ray and his staff. And then you got to recruit new guys as well. So how's that process of trying to hire staff, communicate with guys on the roster now, and communicate with guys you want to bring to the roster now, which is your headband now going forward?
Yeah, it's definitely challenging. Like, probably the most challenging thing, JR, is that no one's gone through this before. So even all the mentors and the people that you've been through throughout your whole career, you can't call and say, hey, how'd you handle this situation? Or what'd you do in this situation? This is all unprecedented territory for everybody. So just trying to make the best of it. And the best thing that you can do is just stay on the phone all the time, or at least that's what I've been doing, FaceTime, Zoom calls, FaceTime calls, group FaceTime calls. It's just been a little bit of everything. And just try to make the best of it and sift through it the best that you can. I think there's always, any time you're putting a staff together, there's always a list of guys you have in the back of your mind that you know that maybe there's probably one or two of those guys that you don't even need to talk to that you know that would come with you and work hard for the right reasons. So there's a couple of those guys, but then you also got to vet some other areas and other angles. So that process has been intriguing but challenging all at the same time.
I can only imagine, Coach. I can only imagine. And, you know, also, we can see you get excited to get a new gig, and then all of a sudden all this stuff happens in the midst of it. Kind of like, wow, this can't be happening. I know for me personally, Coach, on my birthday, March 11th, which the Hawks playing the Knicks, I got the word the season's going to be suspended. I'm like, what is going on? So just think this the last 3 weeks have seemed so long for everybody, and now you're trying to hire a staff, keep guys on the roster, recruit guys. I can't even imagine, like you said, none of us know how to deal with this, how to get through something like this before, because this is something we never thought would happen. No, I'm 33 years old, you're 38. We're not even – what really? This is going on in our lifetime? This can't be serious.
Right. Yeah, it almost seems like a movie. You know, it almost seems like a TV show. You never thought it would come to this. And I do feel bad for, as you mentioned, the student athletes that didn't get to finish their seasons or even start their the spring seasons. You know, you feel terrible for those kids and even high school seniors. And, you know, kids that had their senior years taken away from them because of this. It really just doesn't seem fair. And your heart goes out to those people. But again, I guess the most important thing is that we all got to do our part to stay safe so this thing doesn't linger on longer than it needs to.
And, Coach, for you, the CMO administration has chose you as the new head coach going forward. What did it mean to you to say that for those guys who want you to lead that program, come to Cape Girardeau and build something special in there for the Redhawks now going forward in 2020 and beyond?
Yeah, I kind of had mentioned it in my press conference. Or someone had asked me maybe in an interview somewhere else about how was it when Brady offered you the job? Like, what did you do? And for me, it just was a great sense of pride. For all the people, you know, you don't get anywhere in life. You don't get your own radio show. You don't get to be a head coach. You don't get to become on scholarship and go play collegiate basketball or sports for the all by yourself. You know, it's the people around you that helped you get there. So I just was extremely proud of the people that I've been around my whole life, from my parents to my coaches to teammates to coworkers. To me, it just was a culmination of all those guys. I just was really proud that I've been lucky enough and fortunate enough to be around great people to be able to put me in a position to where, you have an opportunity like this. And I couldn't be more proud and grateful to Brady, President Vargas. SEMO is a school that I've always kind of known, and just from my playing days, being in the region and having played against them. And I just think it's really a place in the program that we can do something. We can move the needle up, and all the sports are on an uptick. They're having great success across all of their sports. And, I really believe in the vision and the mission that's ahead. And it's not going to be easy. There's a lot of work to be done, but I'm excited for the challenge. And, you know, to me, everything's got it's about fit and it's about opportunity. I think I fit SEMO and the opportunity is there.
And, Coach, what do you feel like has been the biggest adjustment for you as going over that one seat from being the assistant coach, making suggestions, to being the head coach, where you had to make the final decision now?
I think the biggest thing is that I don't know what's going to be the biggest thing. As assistants, we all think we have all the answers, but we're the ones that have to make the final decision. So, I know here at K-State with Coach Weber, I could always make a suggestion or if he didn't do it and I ended up being right, then I could say, yeah, I knew what I was talking about. It's kind of funny because now that shoe's on the other foot, so to speak. So it's going to be – I think the biggest challenge for me is going to be what I don't know. When those situations arise, and now you've got to make those decisions, not just a decision but the final decision. I think that's going to be the biggest thing because I don't know – exactly when those situations are going to arise and how often, they're going to arise on a day-to-day basis, not just in games. I think a lot of times we think about head coaching and you just think about standing up during the game or calling a nice little play, but it's really everything that goes into it. You're now not just dealing or worrying about your recruits or your scouts. You have to worry about everything, the whole organization and how it all fits together. And you think you know and you have your ideas of how that's going to go, but again, until you get hit with that reality, I think that's when you really will find out.
Now, Coach, how did you prepare yourself? I know, like for me, when I was a co-host before I became the main host, I was thinking about myself, if I was the host, how would I do this segment? How would I host this show? What guest I would book? Now, for you being an assistant coach, how did you prepare in your mind if, say, if I was the head coach, would I call this play, or would I draw up this, where I handle this guy this way? So how did you prepare in your mind for this opportunity so when it presented itself, you felt like you was good and ready to go for it?
I think for me, the biggest thing is, I guess two things. One, we've had a ton of success. There's been a lot of success, been in a part of a lot of championships, I can say tournaments. I told her to build a program, not from the ground up, but when it was struggling, and get us to the NCAA tournament. And then within here, the last 4 years, they stayed just a high level games. Winning the championship a year ago, having coach gives you a great amount of ownership when it's your scout. And you basically are the acting head coach, the preparation, the game prep, everything leading into that. Even whatever you're going to do in practice. So he gave us a lot of ownership in that regard. And to do it at the highest level and to be successful that way, I think it prepared me every single day. And I'm kind of old school. I write things down. So I've always taken notes. I've always kept practice plans. I've always thought about, like as you said, like what would I do here in this situation? And then I go back and make a note in my book. And I've got books that I've written, basically a basketball journal, if you will, of how I would do things, and just kind of kept it rolling. And then now I'm going to be able to have to go back and kind of reread it, refocus myself on the bigger picture. You know, I don't want to get short-sighted and just look at tomorrow. I got to look at the big picture. But I think being around those guys, the staffs I've been part of have prepared me. And if you look at all the guys that have become head coaches under the guys that I've been around and been associated with, it's a pretty extensive list.
And got that right, Coach. I feel like being on Coach Weber, being Southern Illinois, all those years that you were as an assistant coach there before you went to Missouri State or in the Valley there, you know how to build a program. You know, building a program is something you've been around all these years. So I feel like you have the background and basis to know how to build a program the right way based on the guys you worked for and also who you played for.
Yeah, and I think that the consistency of Coach Weber, the consistency of the guys that I've been around, just the way that they approach the game, and again, not just the games themselves, but the game of basketball, and the way you treat people, the consistent effort that you give on a day-to-day basis, the communication, the openness, the teaching of the game, the watching of the film, everything that goes into that. I've just been surrounded by great, great teachers of the game, and you know, I think that's going to serve me well.
Got there right, Coach. And also for you, like I said, you kind of know the OVC is a league. You know, it's a very tough league. You know, they got some great coaches in there, like Coach Matt Figgert, Austin Peay, Casey Alexander, Matt McMahon, name a few there, Penny Collins at Tennessee State as well. So you come into the league where it's very top-heavy right now, so with a lot of great coaches in the league, and it's a tough league to play every night in this conference. So as you make the adjustments to coaching this league, are you going to be watching the film of these guys' schemes and kind of figuring them out that way? That's learn you as well, of course. But kind of seeing some tape on these guys, kind of give them the advantage the first time through, like you kind of know, like, okay, I know what y'all do already. I know what this play is, what you're going to run here. So how's that going to be for you to adjust to the guys in your league and their schemes?
Yeah, that's exactly what will happen. You know, we get in there and I'll watch all the games. You know, you're going to watch every single game and get the tendencies, feel them out. But there's, as you mentioned, I mean, there's great coaches in the league, and there's been great individual players. That's what's probably gotten the most notoriety of the last couple of years of the league, but really, really, really good coaches. And I think that's something, obviously, in the Big 12, too. I think there was everybody but maybe two guys maybe in the Big 12 hadn't coached in a Final Four. I think it was something like that. But just you're talking about great, great coaches where you got to be on top of your game at all times. Otherwise, you're just going to get gobbled up. It's the same thing as a player. You know, if you don't know that assignment, if you don't know how the team is going to guard you, you're just going to go in and fail because you're unprepared. So I think the whole thing and a lot of success that we've had and I've been able to have over my career is the preparation. And a lot of that goes into the understanding of the game and the watching of the film.
And, Coach, looking ahead, what kind of guys you want to recruit to become future Airhawks? Because I know CMO, you can get JUCO guys, high school senior guys, grad transfers or transfers. You can figure it out any way you want to go. So to build the program right and to sustain it the right way, how you see yourself trying to get a mixture of all those kind of different kind of guys to get this thing built the way you want to do it and make it sustainable for years to come?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to do is a sustainable – program that can stand on its own, that there's an identity there that you know exactly how CMO is going to play, and it's the players that want to be part of something bigger than themselves. That doesn't mean you just come in and just you don't try to get better yourself. Obviously we've got to get great individual talent, and I think you can at CMO. The region is great, the fans are great, they understand basketball, so I think as a player you want to play in front of fans that understand and know the game. You kind of mentioned it yourself. It's just a blend and a nice mix of all that. I would love to size and skill, be old and stay old. You know, whether that's through this day and age, it's more of the transfer. You can get older that way. You can get older through the junior college ranks. So I think it's just a nice blend. But I think more than anything, obviously they got to have the skill. You know, we're not going to recruit guys that aren't good enough to play. And you know, there's good players on the roster, and we've got to put that together. But not only that, but you want to come to CMO for something bigger than yourself. I want guys that want to leave the program better and bigger than them when they first step foot on campus. And that's going to be a year by year, a month by month, a day by day process. but it's those guys that really are totally bought in. They love the game. They love to compete, and they're going to love their school, and they're going to have a pride for their school bigger than themselves. That doesn't mean we won't have individual stars. Obviously, every team does. But as long as your mind and your focus is on those things, that's what I want. That's how I think you can have sustained success.
Now, Coach, that's what I got for you. I know that OVC non-conference scheduling is very critical right now, and I know you need to raise money to play some guaranteed games, of course. But now you're going to have some guys come to Cape and play you guys at Cape as well. So, and probably play a non-exempt tournament here. That I know there's probably some games already booked for you for next year. But if you get a chance to take over yourself the schedule, how do you see yourself going about it when you have the full reign to book it however you want to book it?
Yeah, I think you know, everyone, obviously we got to win games. Recruiting, everyone knows, is extremely, extremely important. But I'm telling you, scheduling is a very, very important component to this whole thing. And I want to be smart with the scheduling. I want to be aggressive in the scheduling. But at the same time, you got to give yourself a chance too, and especially when you're taking over and building a program and where you want it to be down the line. We've got a couple games left to fill out this year, but the schedule's in really good shape, actually. I was really impressed with where it's at. Again, we've got a couple that we've got to figure out, especially with COVID and budget cuts and things of that nature, maybe looking at maybe trying to stay a little bit more regional with the next couple games. And there's enough schools within the region that you can get to and play and that are good games. So I think all across the board, I think you're probably going to find a little bit more at the supposed mid to lower levels. I think you'll probably find maybe a little bit more of the regional games taking place just because of the budget cut, not having that NCAA tournament. March Madness being played this year. You know, it's going to affect some schools in some different ways.
You got there, Robert Cuscorn. Thank you for your time today. Look forward to seeing you down the road. I usually come to Austin Peay when you guys played Austin Peay or at Belmont or some Jacksonville State for me sometime. I don't like to make that drive over there if I don't have to. But I prefer Austin Peay or Belmont. So hopefully I'll see you one of those stops along the OVC journey there here down the road, Coach.
Well, you know where to find me, Joe. I appreciate the time.
Anytime, Coach. Have a good one, buddy.
All right, you as well. Thank you.
All right, that's Brad Horn on the Boss Man Show.
Hip-hop fans, I got a great album for you. The debut album from Family Grind ENT, True Speech and 313 Fresh. We're going to give you two discs, 33 songs of pure, genuine hip-hop. Albums available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, IllStreetRex.com, and streaming live right now on Rhapsody, Beats Music, Spotify, Xbox Music, Slacker Radio, and SoundCloud. Check them out today. True Speech and 313 Fresh. Family Grind ENT. Believe in it. Get it.
A gorgeous tan from Suntan City gives you an inner glow that relights the fire when you run into your first crush.
Vicky, who is that?
An old boyfriend.
Lucky you just tanned at Suntan City.
Lucky he's single. We're doing lunch tomorrow.
Won't be single for long then.
During Tour of the City, try all 5 tans, including spray tan, for just $4.99. Restrictions may apply. Click to buy now.
When you're a teen, you finally get to make some of your own decisions. Who are you going to hang out with? What do you want to be? Are you going to glance at that text while driving? Remember, a split second is all it takes for something tragic to happen. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gonna do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Yeah, it's your man JC, the host with the most, baby, and it goes down each and every Saturday night right here in the city of Memphis. That's right, y'all. It goes down. It clicks. Sports Bar Memphis, baby. 3705 Malco Way, Memphis, Tennessee, 38125. Come out and join us, the Three Kings, each and every Saturday night for the livest karaoke in the city. Everybody gets in free till 10 p.m. only $5 after. Great food. We got drink specials. We got all kind of games, man. We got the pool tables popping. Whatever you want, we got you, man. Come on out. Have a good time with us each and every Saturday night. That's Clicks Sports Bar, Memphis.